Over the last 4 weeks, we have studied church-wide series, Jesus the Game Changer. And we learned that Jesus has such a big influence on our culture and society, influencing on thinking we assume normal and rightful everyone does, from equality to how do we treat women and children to care, and today we are looking at leadership. When we talk about leadership, some people may say, oh, I'm not a leader, so it doesn't really, you know, relevant to me. However, if you have anything to do with the people, if you are in relationship, if you are parents, if you are involved in a small group ministry, you are a leader. So that is impact all of us. Jesus came to this earth over 2,000 years ago, and he taught people for leadership. What he says was, if you want to be the first, you have to be the last. If you are the last, you will be the first. He changes the way people's thinking. What we see is that Jesus is the greatest leader and greatest role model in leadership of all time. There is no one better. He took 12 people and they were left to follow him. What was about his leadership they saw and wanted to go after? When we think about Jesus' leadership, we may come up with the word humility. And I thought the scene of Jesus' entry to Jerusalem may show his leadership in humility. The story can be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses from 12. In this story, people heard about Jesus. They have been hearing about healing and hearing about Nazareth, how Jesus raised him from death. And people were gathering for the festival, and they heard of Jesus coming. So I'm going to read from John chapter 12, verses from 12. You can find this John in the New Testament. It is fourth gospel, so you could start from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So John 12, verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come from the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found the young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples didn't understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Nazareth from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us now nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." So at this point, Jesus is pretty popular. While the leaders were a bit irritated, the crowds loved him. He was a hero. And he comes to Jerusalem on a horse and chariot as a king. No, he doesn't. He enters into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt. It was not fully grown. As we know, donkey is not like the horse. You are not in charge of directing a donkey, but usually they have to be led. And also they are not very big, and a young donkey is even smaller. So if you see a man riding a donkey, it may look ridiculous. That is not the look that a king would necessarily want to portray as he rides into the city in glory. But Jesus is like that. Jesus makes humility of a virtue of leadership. That's what we are looking at today. Humility. What does it mean to be a leader with humility? What we learn from Jesus is that the way to greatness in God's eyes is a path of humility. God honors leaders who humble themselves. On this episode, Carl says, we expect humility in leadership, but we don't always get it. Humility and leadership don't always go together. If you look at some current top leaders of the world, no humility is there. You could make an assumption based on their action and words. For many of political leaders, humility might not be part of their game plan. Leaders today want to appear humble because it is what we expect as a recognized virtue, but it often sadly affords humility. They lack the humility. They rather trample all of others to get a big prize of power, status, or wealth than to be humble. But the Bible tells us that wealth, power, and status gained at the expense of others only brings anxiety, no peace and love what God's kingdom brings. Wealth, power, or status gained at the expense of others without humility result in anxiety in this world. Look at many top political leaders. They are not all men of peace. Then they are not serving in God's kingdom. God's kingdom is different. God honors leaders who humble themselves. And what kind of leader does God want? A humble one. It would be hard to head around this concept of leadership and humility. They don't naturally go together. Humility and leadership is hard to line up sometimes. Jesus' disciples struggle with that. In Mark chapter 10, we can find that two disciples, James and John, requested Jesus for the best position. They came to him, that's Jesus, teacher, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. What they request to Jesus is that let them be the one to sit at next to Jesus. Let them be up there with all the glory, looking down everybody else. But it was not only just two, because further on, verse 41, we read that when the other 10 heard about this, they became annoyed, outraged with James and John. In other words, how dare you? What about us? We want to be also those two. And Jesus found the teaching moment. Jesus had a teaching moment there. And verse 42 says, Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead of whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the ultimate example of leadership. As we are learning in this series of Jesus the Game Changer, Jesus turns the world around. As Carl says, the Gentiles lorded over the people. That was their culture. That was normal for them. But Jesus says, no, you do this way, my way. And everything Jesus did was in humility. Now let us turn to today's text, Paul's letter to the Philippians, Philippians. We will read from chapter 2, verses 3 to 11. It just kind of sums all up about how we are to be behaved and how Jesus is what he stood for. Jesus humbles himself and God exalts him. God honors who humble themselves. God honors leaders who humble themselves. And the followers of Jesus, we are called to be leaders. Jesus says, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are the ones to show the kingdom of God right to the world. The job isn't given to others, but given to all of us. We are all leaders in God's kingdom. So what does it mean to be a humble leader? In today's text, we can learn what it means to be a humble leader. The humble leader sees themselves who they really are. Humility is sometimes misunderstood. It is not, oh, I'm lowly. I'm so hopeless and useless and no good. That's not humility. Acting with humility is not anywhere to deny our own self-worth. Instead, it affirms inherited worth of all people. Jesus acted in humility, and he always knew exactly who he was, the Son of God, in very nature of God, as he says in verse 6. Jesus never denies who he was, never pretended he was someone else. At the same time, humility means to understand we are not better as who we are either. Romans 12:3 says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with a sober judgment. There is a great story in Luke chapter 18, the parable of the Pharisees and the tax collector. In this story, a Pharisee prayed himself proudly in what he performs in his faith, and he says, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Jesus tells a story to people who are thinking themselves quite righteous, looking down everyone else. The Pharisee here seems very righteous, self-righteous man. And we can look at him and say, oh, that's terrible, but we do that. We may say or think, well, I'm not like that. I know he has issues, but remember, all of us are sinners. The Pharisee pretended who he was, yet the tax collector knew who he was. And verse 13 says, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And God honored him, and he went home justified before God. Humility is about seeing ourselves who we are. It affirms inherited worth of all people. The humble leader takes an interest in others. Verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Jesus knew who he was, and yet his ministry clearly focused on people around him. He didn't seek glory for himself. People mattered to Jesus. Jesus valued the people. He did all those things, washing feet and gathering children and putting them on his knees and blessing children and healing the blind and touching the leper and hanging out with the tax collectors and prostitutes because they matter to him. Jesus, the ultimate leader, interested in others. And he interests in you. He values you. He loves you so much that he died for you. The humble leader takes an interest in others. The humble leader chooses to move down. Jesus humbled himself. He came down from the heaven to earth. In fact, he was the king of the universe. It was amazing who once to leave that, yet he did. He came down to earth as a baby. The baby that pulls and wheezes and cries and, you know, huge hairs, pimples and all those things a human gets. He could have been in heaven, but he came down to be with the people. He says, when you are invited to a wedding, you to take the lowest place. He says, for everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We see this over and over again. Jesus keeps telling us, Jesus' leadership is always about giving, not grasping. The humble leader gives himself and herself, and they give in a way to serve others. In verse 7, he says, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. The story of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples is really profound in John chapter 13. As Carl says, washing feet is a yucky job to do it. Washing smelly feet was not the ministry we signed up for. And secondly, is the meaning, it is the lowest job done by the lowest servant, but it is necessary. The meals are ready, but nobody washes the feet of the people attending. No servant assigned. So Jesus wraps a towel around his waist and gets the water and dusts himself. In their culture and in their time, Carl says, Jesus should be and would be the last person in the room wash anyone's feet. But what we read is that he lowered himself to everyone in the room. He takes the role of the servant and washes their feet. The fact that it is pretty unusual, clearly by Peter's reaction, which is, you shall never wash my feet. Peter represented the culture that it was not a job for Jesus. But Peter says, I couldn't let you do that. But Jesus says, I need to do this. And he clarifies what should have happened. It wasn't just a moment in time, but it was a picture of what this man needed to be the leader of the early church. And Jesus said, do not understand what I have done for you. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now, when you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Friends, we are called to serve each other and others in our community. And sometimes it is easy to hide behind our gifting and our calling, or we have gifts from God, the things you do. You just know what God made you for. Sometimes just jobs to be done. We can say, it is not my gift. God really hasn't called me to that ministry. But Jesus never goes there, never says no once. The key is that Jesus does it out of love. He washed their feet because he loved them with all his heart. He showed that love by serving them, by teaching them, by honoring them, and lifting them up. When we have heart of Jesus, we love people, and we are truly humble and see the value of others, we want to serve them. That's what Jesus does. That's the leader. God honors who humble themselves. Jesus, the humble and ultimate leader. I'd love to finish my message by reading Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we are amazed at humility of Jesus Christ. It is remarkable who he was, and yet he never used that for his own glory. He sought to honor God, Father, by serving others. And Lord, we long to do that. We long to that joy, not with the burdens or feeling heavy about it. Just we pray that you would give us the heart of Jesus, that you would fill us with his Spirit, that we would love others and recognize their value and seek to serve them with joy. And we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who are the ultimate leader, who are the humble leader. Amen.